Greetings.
Hello, Otto.
Hank, we are exploring these thoughts on how to use the theory and a script of music to understand how cells communicate. We have already put a lot of thought into that and found many possibilities to actually do use music to understand how cells communicate. And recently, I was answering a question about physiology, and I was describing the relationship between health and disease. And at that moment, I suddenly saw a connection between the deeper level of our body organization, which in Chinese medicine is called the 8 medical meridians. And then I also realized that we have never spoken about these 8 medical meridians.
We did.
Not in the sense that I would like to present them now, because I have the notion that there is something going on at that level which needs to be placed in a body in a very explicit manner.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to summarize that part of the story as I told it just 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. To somebody else. But that in our portfolio here.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can later on elaborate on that.
Yeah, wonderful.
The starting point was that I was describing the relationship between health and disease. And medical methodology, there is a cascade which is called health, dis-ease, disease, and death. If you describe that in a more medical kind of terminology, it would be health, then adaptation, then compensation, and then decompensation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In Chinese medicine, they know that same system and they call it the divisions. And they look at it as the relationship between the internal processes and the external processes in our body, which can be depicted by a Möbius loop. Essentially, if you take a rubber band and you turn one side of it, you can go from the circle shape to the figure eight shape. And that figure eight shape, the lemniscate shape, the Möbius loop, is then the link between the external process and the internal process. So if you imagine that the one side of the figure eight is the outside world and the other side is the inside world, then at the crossing point things go from the outside world to the inside world and the other way around. So the crossing point in that sense is, say, let's say the mouth and the anus, where the food goes in and out of the body. Actually, that's not a good example, because the food that goes into the mouth never makes it into the body, and what comes out of the anus might never have entered into the body. The gut is a passageway through the body, and in that sense not part of the body. It's a part of the outer landscape which is sort of guided through a canal through the body, but it is only when it passes through the gut wall that it enters into the body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So with that in mind, you can see that this picture of the figure eight, the lemniscate, and the crossing point needs to be understood at a somewhat deeper level, and that's the level where acupuncture works with the acupuncture points as the regulatory point for the connection between those external and the internal processes. That model of the figure eight is used to describe how the balance between the inside and the outside can shift. For example, in our body we have a lot of water. Our body is mainly water. In that sense, the cells in our body still live in the ocean, so to say, except that the ocean water is much more concentrated, and it is also stored in materials that have been made by the cells. But still, it is a pool of water. And when we dehydrate, that amount of water becomes less. So if you have to picture of the figure 8, that would mean that the one circle, the representing the amount of water in the body, would get smaller, which also would mean that the outside circle, the other circle, would be relatively larger. In Chinese medicine, they know that. They know that there is this shift, that the figure 8 can move from two equal-sized sort of circles in the figure 8 to one which is much larger than the other, or the other way around. So you have this possibility to adapt the processes in the body relatively to what happens outside of us. So if health is the relationship of the Leibniz gate, that the internal processes are in balance with the external processes, then adaptation is where the internal processes can become a bit larger or a bit smaller. You can drink water and store it. You can dry out and still be able to function. So at the level of adaptation, the processes will continue, let's say, as we normally would see them. But at the next level, you would have the process of compensation step in. And at the level of compensation, you would find that if the water level in the body gets too low, then parts of the body which require less water than other parts of the body will get less water, while the parts of the body which require more water will still have enough water to work with. So in compensation, you can see the same principle of these lemniscate figure eights, but now you have to sort of see that the organ cycle, every organ would be one of those circles, but the organ next to it and the organ before it are connected up by these lemniscate loops, so that the organ cycle, as I mentioned other times, that's essentially the same as the gods of the zodiac. The gods of the zodiac are the principles of shifting the boundaries. The organs are filters which by the filtration preserve or affect the boundary of our body. And then we can see that the organ cycle is the same as the zodiac cycle, and that the organs are the same as the gods of the Olympus, or the deities of the Hindu system, or the deities or the principles of the Taoist system. They are the principles by which we regulate the balance between our body and the environment. And if you think of this model of the Chinese medical system, of the five element circle, or the five element cycle, then you see the organs grouped in a circle, and that the groups are pairwise ordered. So for example, the liver and the gallbladder is connected, and then the liver is the internal organ and the gallbladder is the regulator to what goes outside. In fact, it goes then into the gut, which for our body is outside, as I mentioned before. Likewise, for the bladder, the kidney is the inside organ, the bladder is the outside organ, and likewise the lung and the colon, and the stomach and the pancreas, the heart and the small intestine are paired organs, and all of them have a different position in our body, and always one part of it is related to the internal process of the body and the other is related to the external process, our body processes, our body processing. And so between the heart and the small intestine, you can imagine that there's one of those Möbius loops. Likewise, between the kidney and the bladder, the liver and the gallbladder, and so on. But there is also a Möbius loop link between the kidney and the liver and the heart, and so on. So all of the five elements on that circle are also connected by a Möbius loop. And that's where you can then see that there is this possibility for one organ to compensate for another. So where the kidney would work with the water and it would immediately regulate to the water supply, the liver would connect to the sugar, fat, alcohol, energy regulatory supply, and the heart would relate to the pumping system and the pressurizing of the body, and actually the distribution of fluids through the different compartments of the body. So in that sense, you can see that the organs in the body are not separate. So you should never have something like the kidney doctor, the lung doctor, the liver doctor, but you should always have the organ doctors who together look at the body. And if the kidney doctor needs to look at something, then all of the other organ doctors need to be involved, because they need to check if their organs are actually the cause for what happens in the organ that shows that something is wrong. Because it could well be that in this correction system of this Möbius loop, when you go from health to adaptation and from adaptation to compensation, it could well be that the organ that is running dry is the one that is, let's say, sort of sacrificed in order to preserve the sufficiency of the water level in another organ. So you would not notice that there was something wrong in the other organ where the water level is still good enough so that it can work, but you would notice that there would be another organ which is dried out a bit too much, for the simple reason that the body needed to preserve the water. So that's why you then see how all these organs can connect up together. But by that system of adaptation running into compensation, you also see that there is a need to think differently about the physiology of our body and the underlying principles of our body. Because when we go from adaptation to compensation, the next step after that is decompensation. That is where the organ actually switches off. And this transition from health to adaptation to compensation to decompensation, that happens at all levels of the body. So we can see it at the cellular level, we can see it at the organ level, we can also see it at the body level, we also see it at in society. So in the same principle.
Could you elaborate a little bit more on society in psychology?
Because by the principle described by Bert Vervain. Bert Vervain says the physiology is actually the communication between the cells. It is the feed forward and the feedback loop between the cells. As cells can express themselves, and they do that by expressing molecules which have a physical property, a chemical property, an electromagnetic function, and an information carrier function. So when the cells communicate, they actually operate in the four elements of alchemy: the earth, water, air, and fire, because they have this the physical property, which, for example, the proteins do. They have this chemical, electrical, electron flow property, which the enzymes are representative for. They have this electromagnetic aspect that they're, as they're measured in the laboratory by the electromagnetic spectrum. So at some level, we should not look at the molecules, but we should look at the electromagnetic spectrum. And the hormones are example of that level of the molecules. And evidently, there are the pigments which are capturing, storing, transforming, and releasing light. So that's where we see that there is this whole light process connected to the cell communication. The principle of communication between the cells is not just the physiology, but also the psychology.
Can I put in a little bit more, for example?
Let me build it up, because we need to get there in a very logical way. We can't step beyond it. We need to have the physical. The physical level is the physiology, but then when you go to the electromagnetic aspect in the body, it's the psychology. But the cell communication within the body is also the basis of the communication between our bodies. So what we see as the cell communication within us, we see as the communication between people outside of us. But the communication between people is based on these internal processes of physiology and psychology.
Mm-hmm.
The communication between people we call sociology. And the communication between people and the planet we call ecology. So then we can see that physiology, psychology, sociology, and ecology are all the same pattern. They're all based on the cell communication within the body.
Mm-hmm.
Two parts of it are mainly seen inside of the body as the physiology and the psychology. And two parts are seen mainly outside of us as the sociology and the ecology. But actually the ecology of how we relate to the planet is internalized as the physiology of how we can feed the body cells by the food that we take in. So the ecology and the physiology are actually two aspects of the Möbius loop. At right angles to that, we have the psychology, which is how we think about things internally, which is cell communication leading into organ communication, leading into body-wide communication. But the communication in humanity is a continuity of that. So sociology and psychology are also inside and outside versions of the same. So they too are connected by Möbius loop. So in that sense, we have a double Möbius loop, one where ecology and physiology is linked, and one where psychology and sociology is linked. But in the body, we can see that psychology is linked to physiology, and that means that on the outside, the ecology is linked to the sociology that makes humanity responsible for the Earth. That's a story in itself. But I'd like to come back, because I need to have this understanding of which has been formulated by Bert Verveen, that the physiology is actually the basis of the psychology, the sociology, the ecology, but the physiology in our body is actually the system which maintains our health by the feed-forward and the feedback loops. Between the cells, between the organs, between our bodies, and between humanity and the Earth. So it's all a system of feed-forward and feedback loops, and that's where system theory comes in, and that's why Bert Verveen called that systems pathophysiology. He called it pathophysiology because it turns out, as I described earlier, that when you have the physiology, it is composed of this cycle of organs, and of course that model of the five elements of the Chinese needs to be extended, because there's also the skeleton level, the muscle level, the organ level, and the neural communication or the conscious level. So there's four levels which run in parallel with this organ level, and all of them operate by the same principle. But in the organ level, we can see that there is this possibility to change the physiology in cases that something cannot connect up to the outer world properly, and that it is possible to understand that the capacity for adaptation in our body is actually based on the capacity to compensate within our body. So the physiology of the body, which in meridian theory is described by the 12 meridians, or the 12 planets of the zodiac, or the gods of the Olympus. So that's the organ cycle of the five elements. Actually, there are six, and there's a double regulator system in there, so that makes it into 12. But that system can be looked at as if it is a separate set of connected elements. So in that sense, all of the organs are one organ. That's crucial in the understanding of the body, because At the deepest level, we must always look at the body as having originated from the first cell. So even though we see organs, and even though we see the four levels of the body with the skeletal system, the muscle system, the organ system, and the neurosensory system, it is all just an unfoldment of that first cell. So we always need to keep in mind that whatever happens in the body, we must always be able to trace it back to the first cell. We need always to see what happens in the environment has an effect in the body. What happens in the body is processed in the organs. What is processed in the organs takes place at a cellular level. We always need to connect all those levels. And in the system of health, adaptation, compensation, and decompensation, in health, we basically look at the environment, our experience, our living in the environment. With adaptation, we look at how the body can change and adapt in what we do at the level of the physiology. At the level of compensation, we are now very clear that we need to look in the relationship between the organs and how things can shift between them. And Chinese medicine has a much better perspective on that than Western medicine. But the level of compensation, where we need to rebalance between those organs, always need to be traced back to the level of decompensation, that at some point cells will survive or die. So this decompensation will be at the cellular level, it will be at the organ level, and if it escalates, it will be at the body level. And if it escalates further, it will be humanity that dies. So we always need to keep those four levels in aspect. But with you now, I'd like to focus on this system of decompensation. And because if we need to understand that the physiology is more than just the feed forward and feedback loops in all of these interconnected Möbius cycles between the organs, then we need to look at the organs and see that actually, although all of these organs are together one process, and all of them together have originated from the first cell, we must always connect it back to the first cell. So then we need to understand that even though these organs are an expression of that first cell, and all of these organs together uphold the body as a whole, yet at the level of these organs separately, there is something else going on, because there is this possibility of the physiology to collapse. When we go from adaptation to compensation, actually we can see that at the level of the body organs, there is a fall back to previous underlying physiological principles. And for this, I need to add this notion that we as humans seem to be all dandy and fine, but at the moment that something is not working very well in our relationship within our environment, we will fall back on animal characteristics. As you might have noticed, some people start to behave like animals, but some of our body physiological functions likewise become more animalistic in the way they function. So there is this capacity of a fallback scenario from being human to being animal. And likewise, at the animal level, which is called the animus and the anima in our body, there is a fallback possibility to the vegetative, which is the plant level of functioning. And for example, you can see that in cells which have lost the communication with their environment because there is a psychological trauma stored in that part of the body. So that part of the body actually needs to hold on to an electrical, say, ball lightning of a traumatic experience which the body cannot process and you don't want to look at. So that knocks out those cells, which means they have to go into survival mode, like an animal hibernating. But then they cannot really feed themselves well, so they go back to the vegetative mode, and then they're called cancer cells, because they have fallen back from the normal metabolism of the body where all of the cells feed into each other to a localized sugar metabolism. So basically they start to eat fat reserves or whatever area they are linked into. They will tap into those reserves, which are characteristic for the part of the body where those cells are localized, because that psychological trauma was stored there. And then they can fall back they will go to a fermentation process. And there we actually see that we still need to know that in our body we need to take into account that there is this cycle of life which has been described by Gaston Nasson in Canada, and he showed under the dark field microscope that there is a relationship between somatides, fungus, virus and microbes, and that they can actually move from one stage to the other and back again. And the somatides are say spore elements, but they're actually alive in a very crystallized concentrated form. The fungus is like a plant, it is spores connected up to form a fractal chain. The virus is the counterpart of the animal. It is a fractal going in multiple directions, and the microbe is like a fractal going in multiple directions encapsulated in a membrane, as we find it in our cells and as we live it in our body skin. So there are all these levels connected up, and what I just realized very explicitly 2 days ago and what I'm describing now is that there is something that we need to take into account when we go from this level of the physiology, and we find that in our environment there is something lacking. So we need to fall back from the physiology of the process of ongoing process of adaptation. Health is the process of adaptation, and that means that health is the process which contains all of the disease forms. All of the forms of disease are possibilities of adaptation, the one way to the other, so that the body can actually re-regulate itself. So in the physiology, all forms of disease are present, but they are transient. It is just that at the moment you need to shout louder to be heard, but you're not shouting all the time. You're not angry. At some point you need to whisper because the environment calls for that, but that doesn't mean you have lost your voice. In our life we use compensation a lot, and that's part of the healthy process. But when one of those processes of adaptation gets stuck, then you see that you're running at the level of the decompensation, and if there's one level which is stuck, then there's another level that's stuck too. And what I suddenly realized that there needs to be a description in which we understand the processes of physiology in terms of the fallback scenarios to which the physiology will fall back in the case of emergencies. And I suddenly realized that in acupuncture this is very well described, because the physiology is connected to this process of the 12 meridians with two linking meridians making it 14. The central and the government meridian are like a zipper, making sure that the 12 meridians are connected between the inside and the outside. But these two extra meridians are part of the miracle meridian system, or the wonder meridian system, and those are eight meridians which are at the core of bodily functioning, and there they are connected to what the Chinese call Pakua or Bagua, the eight elements. Those are essentially the four elements, the four humors of Chinese medicine, the four humors of the Greek and Roman medicine, and they're say the earth, water, air and fire, which are the counterpart of summer, autumn, winter and spring. Not in that sequence. It is the external seasonal cycle which has been built into our body, so that in our body we can heat up or cool down the processes, but that means we can speed them up, we can slow them down, but we can also make them larger and smaller. That's this whole principle of adaptation and compensation, the Möbius loops that we work with. So in the Western medical system, not much attention is given, hardly any at all, on these fallback scenarios. And so it's in the Easter system that we can see that the fallback scenario of the 12th meridian system lies in the 8th meridian system. So then we can see that the physiology of the body with the 12 meridians can fall back on the adaptation, the regulation system in the body, which has 8 elements. And in math and music, we can say that those 8 elements are the 8 notes by which we compose our body. So mm-hmm. those are the 8 notes, and they can be played singularly or as chords. And as the physiology, we see these 8 notes as a melody. So this is where I suddenly realized this. Hey, Hank, can you have some ideas on this? Because now I suddenly discover something which so much connects to so many of the themes that we have already addressed. That mm-hmm. in the physiology, we see the melody of the world, of the body at play, and we call that health. But in health, we have all these modes of disease. But mm-hmm. actually, the disease modes are not really disease, but they are specific forms of compensation. That's their correction means there are fallback scenarios. We're very explicit, very precise, and those take place at the level of the system regulation, which is actually the electromagnetic level of the body, where the connection between the organs is itself the core of the discussion, where the Möbius loops between the organs themselves can be shifted from the internal organ to the external organ, for example, from the liver to the gallbladder. If the liver needs to detoxify, then it will pump things into the gallbladder. The gallbladder will pump it into the body internal canal of the digestive system, and there it will go out into the outer world and fertilize the planet. Mm-hmm. So we have that level of the organs in the body, and evidently we are then no longer looking at the 5 elements of the Chinese 5 element cycles. We actually need to see that the 5th element, which is that of the heart and small intestine, is also that of the pericardium and the triple warmer. And the pericardium and the triple warmer is actually it has the same function as in the 12th meridian system you find in the central and governed meridian. And the central and governed meridian makes sure that the 12 meridians can function as a set. So the central governed meridian are in a way the zipper that ties them together. And likewise, mm-hmm. in the 5 element cycle, it is the pericardium and the triple warmer meridian which make sure that the internal and the external processes are kept in balance. But at the moment that the 5 element cycle is no longer functioning as a cycle, because compensation needs to take place, so we need to go from adaptation to compensation, then at that level we can no longer count them as 5 elements. We need to actually see that the 5 elements have always been 10 elements. We need to double them, because the liver and the gallbladder need to be flexible with respect to each other, and they suddenly need to be counted as 2 again. But at this meeting point and at the heart and the small intestine, where the energy goes into the body and goes out of the body, that's the input and the output into this 5 element cycle circulation. At the moment that we have difficulties in our environment, because we can't drink the water that we seek, or we can't find the food that we need, then that point of the heart, it basically breaks open, and suddenly you see that the pericardium system which is the electric system around the heart, which regulates all of the processes in the body, and the triple warmer system, which is actually the electrical system, which relates the what happens in the belly to what happens in the chest to what happens in the head. And all of those need to be recalibrated in relation to the environment. So that, of course, puts it into a system of 12 elements.
Yeah.
12 notes, yes. But also it then has this fallback on the Bagua, which is a system of 8 notes. So there is then a fallback to essentially the four elements of the alchemy.
And we only play 7 notes in quints, and we have the quint circle. So it's very funny.
But we can skip the 7. We can skip the model of 7, because it's the model of 7 does not account for the continuity. If you disconnect the system from the environment, you will have 7 notes. But if it is connected to the environment, you have the 8th note.
Yeah.
And that's what we talked about before. It's only when you have that 8th note that you can have the comma of Pythagoras into the story. And it's only when you have the 8th notes that you can get these 7 aligned. So you cannot have the 7 in the proper order if you don't have the 8. So in the Bagua, you need to have the 8 elements.
That's true, but referring to Arnold Schoenberg, the composer in Vienna around 1900, he said all notes are equal. So he described and he composed in that way. But we figured out in the later century that was not completely true. It's more a mathematician model, also what we did with tetrionics, so that we make them equal. But they are basically unequal, and it when you have these 12 meridians, you have these 12 scales of Pythagoras described, and then we have these Pythagorean fifths, and all he did with this quintet circle. So all the tuning is done by the quintet circle, and that's based on if you play major or minor, it's you figure it out in the quintet circle. And And to get the quintet circle working, you need the Pythagorean comma, and that's how you do it. And then you have for singing, we have actually 18 notes. And so we have a so when we sing a minor, we sing a different note than when we sing a major. And on the piano, that's equal. So then you just have 12. So you see, there's also always this mathematic practical compensation of music, but real tuning, real voice has at least 18 notes according this system. If we elaborate more on it and we make it more practical, we have even 32 notes. But that's hard to sing also for a singer. So we better keep it to our false singing with the piano. So everybody who sings with an instrument actually sings out of natural tuning. We sing then well tempered, and we are obliged to sing false major or minor things. And only the fifths and the octaves are pure. So that's what they did with the quintet, to get it all added. And Werkmeister in Bach did the same, and they stated it better to have 12 for practical reasons. And since in Indian raga, you only are allowed to play within the octave. Because outside the octave, it's the area of the deity, so we're not allowed to sing, to octavate, or to do all these things we do in Western harmony. So it's in India, Hinduism, it's blasphemic to sing over an octave.
I'd like to add something to that, because one of the principles that I've been elaborating recently is that of the laser production chamber. Mm-hmm. So that what you're describing now is actually that you work within the octave, you work within the laser chamber, and then in music, of course, you have the higher harmonics and the lower harmonics, which extend beyond the laser chamber. But mm-hmm. you can only operate within your scope of the eight chakras. But the basis on which we work is that we create an impulse in the body. We can reflect on that. We can actually reflect on our reflection. So it's like you have a spark of light, and you put a mirror next to it. You put another mirror next to it, which you can then attune. And if you attune it properly, then whatever that resonance of that light spark between those two mirrors is able to pass through the mirrors. That's how you make laser. You capture a light spark, you mirror it between two mirrors, you tune the mirrors so that the wavelength is actually fully fitting. And at that moment, let's say you fit into the universe, and the light that you created fits into the universe. So it is a really nice way of saying, in a different manner, what you just said, that the Indians say we need to stick to our octave of life, and the connection to whatever else is there will be through our being attuned within, and not by our tuning into what's out there.
Yeah.
And that tool is our, about the health and adaptation.
Our arrogance, etc., to think that we are deities and to act like them, and that's forbidden in Hinduism. So you have another caste who's able to act out it. So the Brahman is the only one, the Brahman caste is the only one who's able to look out of this laser chamber. Yeah,
well, basically it's a level of development. And in India, they froze that stuck by saying that you're born into a caste, while actually you should develop from one caste to the next, to the next, to the next. Those should be stages of development, and not fixed boxes that you're born into. That's how they wrecked their own system.
Yeah.
But coming back to the musical notes, I suddenly realized that diseases must all be based on aspects in our body. In the meridian system, we go back from the 12 meridians to the 8 meridians. The 8 meridians are actually the four elements of alchemy doubled, because you have the inside version of it, you have the outside version of it. Mm-hmm. And the four meridians are actually connected to the measurement of Cyril Smith, who realized that if you measure the frequencies of the meridians, then you can put the frequency of the meridian into water. There is a very specific process which then can be noticed, which is that once you have put three meridians into the water, the fourth meridian will wipe them all. And that shows that at the core of our being, there is a four frequency system which is at right angles to each other. Because the only way that you can have the fourth frequency wipe the previous three is if all of the frequencies are at right angles to each other, and then the fourth, which is at right angles to the other three, will flip it inside out. Because in a three-dimensional system, when you have four orthogonal frequency sets, once you have gone from one to two to three dimensions, from the x-axis to the y-axis to the z-axis, from the line to the plane to the volume, then the fourth one will turn it inside out, which brings it back to the point, the zero point.
Yeah.
And so that means that in the music, we will find that there must be something of those four frequencies which are the right angles to each other. So they're not equal, exactly, but they're equally spaced. Hmm?
And that's exactly how synthesizers are built. Uh-huh. So you have these four oscillators, and you build this sound, and then with the fourth oscillator, you build the whole music, and then you can change the other three. And it's fascinating that you explains it like that. You are explaining it like this, because that's exactly how it is built and how everything is synthesized by these four octagonal things. If it's in synth, if you go to the chemical thing, it's mostly done in this way to synthesize a new thing, to create the new molecules, etc. But in music, they have the same principle and in creating synthesized music.
So I see that we have a whole story for that, of the synthesizer in our body with the four frequencies, as shown by Cyril Smith.
And I was always wondering, why only four? Don't we need more of that? And you could do it in 8 or in 12, but it's so funny, but because you have the same law from 8, 12, or from 4, 8, but actually then 16, 32, as you go to, according to a musical law, with the octave. And so I was always wondering, how would this work in other areas? How would this work with laser? But now I understand by this the thing of Boerhaave, the parsimony, that's something that's very easy to understand. And now we have this four, and I don't know yet if it's applicable to chemics and to physics, because I don't know enough of it to know if that's true. But I think, since music is such an easy way to understand things for me, it and it's such a vast law and universe, like gravity, and then you have music for me. so for me, it creates a model that could be reflected on all the other areas with quanta and also what Kelvin Abraham tried to do, but Kelvin went from the triangle and it has 3 points.
And yes, but he did get music to fit in perfectly well.
Yeah.
Of course, if you look at the 3 points with the fourth point in the middle, then that is a planar version of local stability as well.
Yeah.
So he describes structural cohesion or phase coherence at all of the four dimensions. So you start with the 0 point, which is a charged particle with a plus and a minus charge in motion. By its motion, it will create a magnetic wake extending to the left and to the right of it, because the movement of the charged particle with a dual charge will have a dual charge magnetic extension behind it. So that leads to the point of the charge moving in the line of the motion, creating the triangle of the effect. And then when these triangles connect up, so that you have phase coherent motions of those charged particles, then you get a tetrahedron, which is basically like a cat chasing its own tail, which is completely stable and the basis of matter. But then so the four-dimensionality of the tetrahedron lies in the fact that it is a point extending to a line, extending to a triangle, extending to the tetrahedron, which have from point to line to plane to volume, is the transition between the four dimensions. And also when you connect that to the laser principle, I was talking about the spark and a mirror on one side, then adding a mirror on the other side, as a result of which you can have the spark turn into a standing wave and an extending wave, the laser. But of course, if you have a laser cubicle like that, you can make it into a cubicle with mirrors on three sides of it, and then you have the three-dimensional, but the fourth dimension is the holographic image that can relate to that. So now we have that related to the four notes, which somehow exist as the basis of the whole musical composition. Those four notes, which are mutually orthonormal. If you put three frequencies into the water, then the fourth will wipe them. That shows that they are orthonormal. But it also means that with four frequencies, and you connected that to the four synthesizers.
Four oscillators and synthesizers.
So maybe you could talk about that some next time.
Mm-hmm.
Because then those four frequencies are the basis of the eight frequency system, which somehow are the basis of not the diseases of the body, but actually the fundamental fallback scenarios in the body. And I see that it must be possible to, from the octave, understand what these are, because medical description about that I have not found. The closest that I found is the medical meridians in the Chinese system. But these need to be correlated to animal, vegetative, and cellular processes, because then we can see how within the cell those four levels of information guiding the energy, determining the process, defining the form, will be the basis of the creation of the core physiology. We need to find another name for that, which then leads to the physiology of health, which then leads to the formation of the body.
I think I have a short mathematic answer also due to synthesizers. So you have these algorithms, you have the seesaw wave, the block wave, the sinus wave, and I'm missing out one. I don't know. These three waves.
You have the triangle. You have the block.
And the sinus, and those three you work, and then with the fourth oscillator you try another thing, and that's how you synthesize a music. So you can make a voice. I can imitate your voice with it. It can imitate my voice. It can do the same thing. Can make a violin. You can build everything from it. But you don't get the quality of a Stradivarius, but you get a synthesized Stradivarius. So it's fascinating that you can do this, and it's hard to distinguish for ears if it's done by very good computers and oscillators with good algorithms, to distinguish is it artificial or is it real.
You would only find that from the coherence between the pulse, the block wave, the triangular wave, and the sine wave. Only by their phase coherence can you know if it is one source or if they're separate sources. And this seems to be the core of what happens in the cell. And I need to think further on how to extend that, but we need to do it another time, because you have to do something else at this time now. So I'd like to close off our recording. I'll come back in a moment to you to evaluate. And I think we have a very impressive standpoint for a next exploration about synthesizers.
Indeed. Thank you.
Thank you, Hank.